How many folks here, you're fans of sports, or maybe you like to watch movies, but sometimes you have to record it, or after it's over, you look at the repeat, and you know what the end is, especially if it's a sports game. Does that take a little bit of something off the edge for you to know that it's already over, but they're playing, you're seeing them play the game, you're seeing them do that, you think, wow. And then I've done, on occasion, I've got so engrossed in it, I say, I hope he catches the pass. Well, he didn't catch the last 30 times you watched it. But, you know, that's what it is. So there's something in this world, there's something to be said for when something is over and done, there's something taken off as you go through it. But in the gospel, that's not really true. Because, folks, there's a war. We hear a lot of that word today, war, warfare. There's wars all over the place. And yeah, there's a lot of war going on in this world. Physically, we know where that is. It's in the hot spots overseas, over there, away from us. But I'm submitting to you that there's still a spiritual warfare going on. And as the Lord shared this with me this week, I began to think, yeah, it's going on, Lord, but don't we win? Yep. Already won. All done. It's finished. Well, but why is there a scripture that says the weapons of our warfare are not physical or fleshly? Why does the scripture say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be ready in that day to stand. Armor is battle gear, isn't it? But Jesus said it's finished. What's going on here? Well, it's finished. What's that old song you say? It's finished. The battle is over. It's finished. There'll be no more war. And Jesus is Lord. But the victory Jesus won was for our souls over death, hell, and the grave, over sickness and disease. It used to be when people became ill and sick. Before Jesus, when they died, it was a horrible place to be. But even those things, when God administers the healing that he paid for, that's wonderful. But the worst thing that can happen to us at the end of that, if we're a believer, is that we're with Jesus at the end. So, you see, we win. That part's over and done. But why is there still a war that we need to be concerned about, that we need to talk about, that we need to think about? It's forced on us every time you hear words spoken and whatever. Why is it? What is that war? And what do we need to do about it? I'm going to share. I'm probably going to read a lot of this because as I wrote it down, I thought, I just transcribed it from the Lord. But my scripture I'm going to start with is 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. No part of that verse is talking about the human part of this thing. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He's talking about the prince of power of the air. He's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about all the spiritual things that we overcome because greater is he that's in us. The good thing about that is we know that there's challenges out there we have to face. You face them every day. So do I. We don't necessarily think of it as warfare because maybe it's, I've heard people say this, well, I have a prayer, it's just a little headache, pray for it, please. Well, that's warfare. Well, my son's not serving the Lord. My family is off on their own. They're believing different things. They're saying different things now. That's warfare. Warfare that happens every day. And where it happens, the spiritual warfare happens in a unique place that we'll get to here in just a minute. But we need to be aware that we are still at war. And I put this at the beginning. It's an interesting way I'm going to inspire you. I started out by trying to be the old, thinking about being the old Southern preacher. How many of you heard preachers down south? Or, We're going to inspire you. We're going to motivate you. We're going to stir you up and stir up the gifts in you, the many gifts in you. And I want you to be encouraged by what I have to share today. But before we get to the good stuff, we got to take a step back. and get ready. We got to be prepared to be used by the Lord. We got to be ready, instant in season, for what? Just to live? Yep. But we're living in a place where there's still war over the souls of men. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus right now. And, yeah, so it's finished. Salvation's paid for, but they don't get it. Well, I've seen enough people who are hypocrites. I don't want to go to that church. I've seen people, you know, I'm on and on and on. I don't want to know who Jesus is. Well, that's a call to arms for us, church. Because not only are the people that we love and work with, family, friends, whoever it is, maybe you pass them in the grocery store, maybe you look at them on a street corner. They're living in a country where the gospel is preached freely, but you would be amazed. I'm amazed at the number of people that have no idea what Jesus Christ really means. Oh, we have churches. We assemble. We hear other people talk about it. We have some churches that are completely culturally and so forth, that they go through the same thing every week. They read the things every week. They read powerful scriptures. People seem to participate in it. They walk out the door and they still have no idea. I was that way. Probably 9th grade, 10th grade, I got saved my sophomore year, but I was just moving into a place where I had plans, man. I'm going to be whatever it is, tear this world up and enjoy it, because I had been raised in the church, taken to church by my little grandma, went to the Assembly of God church that was five houses down the road from me. I was exposed to all of this preaching and teaching, whatever, but it was like water on a duck's back. I didn't know what it meant. I never paid attention to the truth of it. I went to Sunday school and heard all the Sunday school lessons about David and Goliath and so forth. So I knew just enough to not know anything. And so there's a lot of people, you know, that live their whole life that way. And they get to the end of it. And you can sometimes see it in the way their obituary is written. He was of the Catholic faith. She was of the Baptist faith. I guess just being associated with the church is a lie that people believe that makes them comfortable enough to not pay attention to the real war that's going on for their souls. And that war that's happening right now around us, we're in this world, we're in this dispensation of time, and God knows his plan and why we are where we are. But there are still challenges. If we're walking in faith, if we've grown in the Lord and we've memorized the word and we live that word day in and day out, and we mess up every now and again and confess our sin and we go and we grow and we grow and whatever, that won't be worth a hill of beans if we go on and the person beside us all these years, our whole life, we kind of depend on somebody else to reach them. We've witnessed to them, we've talked to them, and they just whatever. But there's more than one weapon, one tool that we need to take into this warfare. Sometimes, I remember growing up, we had a class in college, witnessing. You just go on the street and tell people. We'd have a day, a plan, we'd get all our stuff together. We'd go, we'd knock on doors and go down the street, especially my very first year of college. Everybody's looking forward to witnessing. When you'd pull people, you'd walk up on them, and they're doing whatever they're doing, sweeping the street or selling a hot dog or sitting quietly. Excuse me, can I have a word with you about Jesus? Well, if God leads you to them and he has done that, that's fine. But that's using one weapon in the arsenal we have against the enemy, against the ignorance in the world's mind about what it is to really know who Jesus is. Ignorance just means you ignore the truth of the knowledge. And it's grown into what is an insult to people, but that's not what we're talking about. We're empty. The world is empty of what Jesus really means. And we live in the greatest country we believe that's ever been. The gospel's been probably preached more freely and spoken more freely and lived more freely than anywhere else in the world. But what do we see around us? You see war. That's what you see. You see a world mumbling and stumbling and bumbling around, looking for a purpose, and that purpose is in us. Don't we believe that? Don't we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life? So what do we do? Just hold up and meet for our little huddles on Sunday and worship and praise and get happy and be inspired and stirred up and get excited, whatever. This is just the huddle in the game, guys. This is just where we come and we hear good things, and we're taught how to use this armor of God and these gifts of the Spirit so much so we can go out and reach the world, a world that still needs us, going out to the front line. Everywhere you are is on the front in this war. Now, we know we're not going to lose the war where we're concerned. We know what that story is. But as long as there are people who are walking around lost, who need a purpose in their life, who's attached to every kind of horrible addiction there is, maybe mistakes they've made they can't seem to shake, they can't forget, whatever it is, there's a lot of hurt in people's lives out there, a lot of pain. And if we're living in this country and we have this opportunity to share it, today we need to hear a wake-up call. That's why I'm saying this to you, because it was a wake-up call to me. You get so engrossed with the way the world's dictating what's going on out there. Jesus is Lord of that. Did you know it? Jesus is Lord of that. Jesus is Lord of that. Well, why is it still going on out here? Because he went to heaven and said, I must go so that a comforter, a helper can come. And in essence, Kurt version, look at the Kurt Bible, you'll see it written this way. The Holy Spirit's going to be one with you, so there's going to be a whole lot of me going everywhere. Not just the one me, but as many who take my name. These works they'll do in greater works because I go to the Father. That doesn't sound like that we can just accept him and there's no more war, no more battles, no more fight, no more have to push back against things. That sounds like to me we're getting ready to do that even more. The challenge for me has been not to push back or to fight or use these spiritual weapons in this warfare on people. Because people aren't the enemy. Even though there are scripture that says to love your enemies, pray for them. We know what that means. But in essence, the devil, the spiritual warfare, the spiritual powers in high places, that's who the enemy is. And the only purpose we're here, the only thing we can do beyond worshiping God and praising God, the best way we can praise him is to reach the lost souls, to touch them, to let them see who he is. Notice I said see, not just hear. These are dark days. They're painful, dangerous days that stress and try everyone's faith to the core. There's very little good news, if any, in the world. And it gets kind of darker and deeper the more you hear it and you see that out of control a little bit. So I'm going to tell you here now in this message, it's going to be good here in a few minutes, but like anything that's good, we got to take a step back first. You know, when a track star, the fastest man in the world, when they get down in the starting block and they take off and they end up down there at the end of the line and they're the fastest person, that's the good part. But the first thing that guy has to do or that girl has to do, they have to do something depreciating. They have to step back. They have to assume the position, whatever the proper position is, before they take off. Think about this. I thought about this. It's too deep. If I said this very much, people would say, ew. But if your body could speak and you had to have a surgery scheduled to fix something, like on my arm, I popped a ligament there a few years ago, and it already hurt. So why is this dude going to stick a knife in it and cut it and make it hurt more? And then it's going, oh, why would we want to make something so negative? Well, first of all, in Jesus, there is no negative, but there is a requirement for us to die. And second of all, that blade that seems like it's inflicting more pain, it's a healing tool. That's where you take a step back to fix it, and then the good things come. Weightlifting is a perfect example of that. The resistance. The resistance comes against you every time, whether it's a band or a weight or whatever. And the way you benefit or the results of that is that you decide to push back, and it's in the pushing. And it comes again, and you continue to push and push, and eventually you'll be able to push more and more. There's always what might look like a negative, and certainly everybody will say that's a negative if you're taking a step back. But what are we taking a step back for? Why are we drawing the bow back for the arrow? The first step looks like it's backwards. Even your biscuits in the oven, they do this. They squat to rise. Everything is that way. Do you know Jesus is alive in heaven today? What happened to him? He had to die. The Bible, the main thing, one of the main things that Scripture tells us is we need to crucify our flesh. All those things, that's not really advancing. We want the good stuff without the preparation. We want to see the light and not be aware of the darkness. If everything was light, there'd be no darkness. But did you know it could be completely dark in a room for, I don't know, I've seen this demonstrated, and one little light will penetrate it. But for the darkness, for the light to be seen and to be known, there's going to be a lot of darkness. And boy, is it ever dark. Dark days, scary days. There's no fear in Christ. I'm going to tell you that I don't have concern over a lot of things, but there's a world dominated by fear today. That's the way people get manipulated to do what the tiny group that's in charge of things in this place, the owners. That's how they control people, through fear and intimidation and so forth. Jesus is Lord of all that as well. Can you imagine in warfare, can you imagine... And I can't do this. There's people, my dad did it. Had an uncle that did it. They were in wars where they had to be in ditches, and they were both injured and nearly died, and all these. And they would pray. They prayed. A lot of people pray when they're at that place. I can only speak what someone told me about it. But the reason that they're way in that situation, enduring all that hardship, is because they know it's for the better cause. They know that there's a result coming out of it that's good and desirable. And the result of Jesus going to heaven and giving us the Holy Spirit, pouring that out upon us, giving it to us, one to live with us, is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, reach them with the gospel. And what we need to do, folks, is have a stand-up time. It's time to stand up and be counted. It's time to stand up and be counted and let people know we love them. We don't just have to put our T-shirts on and our Jesus, I love Jesus hats. That's cool. That's okay. Anything that you do to reach people. But I'm telling you, it's life and death right now. It's life and death right now. And we know that the war for the souls of people is won. But if they don't know it, and if we assume they know it, we have the armor of God for a purpose. We have it for a reason, to do something. I'm going to read this part to you here, and then I have a scripture we're going to read in Ephesians. Already said that part. It's finished. Maybe I'm finished. We are equipped for spiritual warfare by the Holy Spirit. God wants to use his people, and there are no perfect people. Although when you're trying to live a life of Christ to a world that's lost, to a friend that's lost, to someone that's loved, they're going to see you do the good things, say the good things, and they're going to see when you mess up. And what do you do when you mess up? Who do you go to? How do you turn to? It's more your witness to them is your entire life, your thoughts, your words, your intent, your actions, the results of your actions. And all anybody has out there, the biggest influence on them now is demonstrated by actions, by words, by efforts, that they're going to die. That the world's a dark place and people are afraid they're going to die. People are afraid of that. And yet, the world's filled up with churches, the world's filled up with believers, and rightly so. But you know what? I guess I just learned this. I've watched for years and studied different religions of the world, not totally in depth because you can get into some weird stuff there. But the numbers that we hear now is that the religion of Islam is the biggest one in the world. There are some people who say, no, there's so many Christians. I don't know who counts all those people. I don't know how that works. But I would tend to think that's probably right at this point. And you know what? Jesus is Lord of that too. Because he loves them. And he loves the people that aggravate us. He loves the people that love us. We've got to live Jesus in front of them, folks. That's what it means when we put on the armor of God and recognize the seriousness of this war that's going on. And for however long it's going to happen, who knows? But I felt the need that we need to call attention to the fact that maybe you've had people come and pray, and yes, we need to pray. We certainly should pray. But you've had people pray for a family member with you for so long, and you've been praying for so long, and you've been doing what you can do and try to say what you can. And I've done this myself. I've done this very thing myself. I've become weary in that well-doing. And I just kind of stopped it, and the world kept going, and everybody kept living and doing their thing or whatever. But that's not how these people are going to be part of that winning thing that Jesus did. We have to make the effort to reach them. And not force them to make a decision, not talk them into it. Maybe they'll be right. Maybe the Lord has them right that we can use words to speak to them. But dare we say, let them watch us? They want to see the real Jesus? Are we up to that? Are we, well, we say we're Christian. We already have his name. And when this challenge came to me as I was praying, I took that step back and I said, oh my goodness. There's a lot I don't want people to see about me. So then I have to pray and let the Lord work on me so that I can be who Jesus wants me to be so people can see him in me. I said this so many times, and I was called into the principal's office spiritually about it because it sounded so good. And it does. I said, If I've ever had the privilege to be in a conversation with people or be involved in this situation, Lord, I want them, if after I leave or they leave, all I want them to think of is Jesus, that they were with Jesus, that they had a visit. And that was a wonderful thing. And that's still a wonderful thing. But the issue is, when I tried to put the spiritual armor on, I'm speaking at a little higher level with you, and I tried to be certain things. I look back over my own life and thought, Lord, I want them to be that way, but what have I done that they will? Just by me talking to people and creating the atmosphere that they'll feel like Jesus was there, it's a good thing. But if they still leave and they're still hurting and they still have need and they're still lost and undone, I just made them feel good. And I guess the best time to fish is when they're biting. And when we're in a situation with folks, and we're with them all the time, that we're in a world with them, we can't help but be with them. We need, I'm saying it we, but this is what I prayed. Lord, help me be the you to them that I need to be. Not just here and now. Maybe I need to give them a call tomorrow. Maybe I need to spend time with them. Maybe I need to do things. Maybe when I tell those folks I love them and I'll be praying for you, that's a wonderful thing. But maybe I might be part of the answer to that prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this person with, they need $1,000. I pray you'll bless them with it. They need clothes. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them with it. What's that? Oh, okay. Well, I just thought, Lord, you know, there's strength in numbers. Move that little armor out of the way and let's give. It's all action and doing. You know what the Bible says, that you're saved by faith and that by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we get that so confused sometimes. It may very well mean that people think they can work their way into heaven and do works, good works to get to heaven. But here's the way I see it. This is the way I see it, my interpretation of it. The works he's talking about is getting busy to love the lost, to reach the lost, to be the answer that the lost needs in that time, to give them comfort, maybe whatever it takes. And we should be about those works. That's be involved in the warfare, be doing things, going into the trenches with people there and help to pull them out. Let them experience your dedication and love to Jesus. That's quite a challenge because there's a lot of people I didn't think I could do that with. And don't you know that's the very people that come along? Because war is ugly. It's never comfortable. war and spiritual warfare is out of our comfort zone. And as we keep hearing how what a mess the world's in and war here and war there, I guess the Lord's had me turn it up a notch and say, let's find the real one here. You know, in the world and the way that the enemy has blinded the minds of all of us, really, but in the world, it's about a group of a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of people that tell their population of their country, their group, whatever, their young men and their young women, I want you to go kill those other people's young people. You've never met them. You don't know anything about them, but I want you to see them through the barrel of your gun and shoot them for reasons that I want you to. It might be power. It might be ego. It might be whatever it is. What it is, it's just the devil. But you would be engaged with tens of thousands of people. And in any other situation, you might have a picnic with them. I guess I didn't hear my dad ever say this story, but I remember a few things that he talked about when he was in Vietnam. You really couldn't tell or trust the difference between which was the North Vietnamese or the South, who were the good or the bad. Culturally, they all had the same things they did. They spoke the same language. They looked, they dressed alike. And he's the one, my dad was saying things back then, I don't remember the whole conversation, forgive me, but that we could just normally went fishing if we didn't meet over here. But why are we here? Because you've been led and manipulated to believe that these are bad people, just kill them all. You hate them. You don't like them. And then the same coming back. Look what a scale it happens just from one voice, one group of small voices. Well, that's why it tells us very easily that there's a spirit. There are the principalities and powers that are in control of the prince of the air and this earth that has the ear and the heart of people. That's where he wants to lead people, is to death and destruction. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the paycheck these men and women get in this world for doing those physical things, the paycheck they get is death, because that's all there is, and nothing. There's nothing beyond that. But we know Jesus. We have him. He's alive. He's here because we're here. And here's another thing that the Lord taught me about using a weapon of my warfare. I need to go line item on some of those things, but I'm going to have you read Romans, and I'll finish with Ephesians here. When I caught myself, and I was convicted because I was telling people I would pray for them and didn't. Oh, in that second or that moment, maybe it's a social media thing. Well, I'll pray for you. And you put the little hands. And you're serious. And you think, maybe if I whisper something now, then I'll move on. Well, the Lord told me to stop moving on. And don't do it. Don't say it unless you mean it. Because when we pray, it's a very powerful thing. And don't get me wrong. Even calling attention to prayer and saying it, that's a wonderful thing. I'm not saying that that's wrong for anybody else but me, but I'm not allowed to say it anymore unless I really do it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Mr. or Mrs. or so-and-so, whatever, you see their need, Lord. Remind me to continue to pray for them. I want to embrace this. And don't just go into the ring and the boxing ring of this battle, so to speak, and say, yeah, I'm a fighter, but somebody else will do it for me. Let's put the gloves on. Let's put the armor on. Let's take the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of our faith, the tongue that we can't tame, but the Holy Spirit can. Let's speak words of life instead of death. Let's speak truth instead of lies. Because we know what it's like to live in our own life when we were in that condition. And there's a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of battles to happen. It's okay for us to do things and to believe things like the battle is over, Jesus is Lord and all that. He knows that. He's Lord because he loves people and wants them. He's Lord because he's paid the ultimate price. He lived. He did the will of the Father. He died. He was resurrected. That's not any small thing right there. And then he ascended to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and amplify him in the world. We didn't lose him. We gained everyone who believes in him. An army. It's militant. I'm not talking about being mean to people or being militant to people. I'm talking about demonstrating love even more to them. I'm going to read my Ephesians scripture, then we'll close. This is Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read two different versions, just because I like to. The King James is really cool, though. It really, that first part I told you about getting fired up and motivating you, King James will do it for you. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, you're still standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench most of the fiery darts. You'll be able to quench some of the fiery darts. That you'll be able to quench the darts that I'm trying to use to teach you something. No. So you can quench all of the fiery darts. All of them. Of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Yes, amen. I was getting all geared up there, then at the very end, he ended up praying for other people. All that to pray for other people? Yep. Here's the Message version of what I just read. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. It's life or death. A fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. But be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Get every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You need them throughout your whole life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And by the way, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. I thought all those weapons, you know, it just felt good to know that I could put that armor on, you know, the breastplate. Well, what does it mean? If you're thinking figuratively or you're just getting inspired because of the power that it sounds like you have and the protection you have and whatever, you could read a comic book and get the same thing. But this is, well, like you said, this is for real. That breastplate of righteousness, that means you're in right standing with God. The helmet of salvation, you have the knowledge. Spirit, soul, and body, I'm saved. I know. It covers that part of your head. The mind, the brain lives in there. That's a whole other sermon to preach about where the battlefield of this war really is. It's really in the mind of a lot of people, most people. And the scriptures tell us how to address that. You know, renew your mind by the word of God and so forth. But we have all of these armor things that he likened it to. Qualities that God wanted us to have in our life. And there's other places, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts he's given the church, pastors, evangelists, prophets, all of these, their tools, their weapons, fasting, eating, ways that you can have yourself prepared for this warfare so that you can pray for other people. All this talk about warfare and you end up at prayer, Kurt. Yep, because that's the one thing we can do anytime, every time, all the time, anywhere. Under your breath, out loud, in your mind, it doesn't make any difference. You can be doing those body shots to the devil all day long. Never finish. Oh, I got a sword too. You stick that in him every now and again. And you take that sword, and remember, folks, that can be a scalpel. Because and when we're dealing with people and we might be mad at them and upset at them, don't pull your sword out and say, "Thus saith the Lord God." That punishment's already paid. Somebody paid for all that. We might need to use that word of God so that it can cut to their heart, so to speak. And they can see what's flowing through us and it goes right into them. Right into them. I will pray for you. Let's stop right here and do it. I might be a little uncomfortable. Yep. War's uncomfortable. I don't want to lay in this muddy ditch. Yep. War's uncomfortable. Never convenient. Never convenient. I think we get spoiled because of the convenience that we have. We might not have it much longer. Who knows? Who knows? But we're called to warfare and we're called to pray. That's our cadence, is prayer for the lost. And then as we pray, we get direction on what to do, the works that need to follow, to do what? Save souls. Oh, I want to glorify God. Well, we need to save souls. But I want to sing praise and worship. He's praised and worshiped when a soul is saved. I'm just learning this stuff. I've been around for 65 years, and I'm just learning some of this stuff. Yay, all that excitement I told you up front, we'd be, yay. Somebody walks through that door or comes with you to church or comes to your house, I accepted Jesus yesterday. Yay. Yay. Yep, there we go. Let's keep going. I hope you got out of that what I got out of this today, because I still got a bunch more and I have to pick it up next time. Pastor, thanks for giving me the opportunity. Let me pray with you guys just before I leave, okay? Thank you, Father, for a country where we can still do this. Stand up. Freely speak about you. Freely reach people with your message and your love and your gospel. Thank you for this church, for these people who are here now. But Lord, I'm not going to pray just for the collective of us all. I pray for every single person here that you know what the need and the challenge in their life is. They're being attacked. They're involved in some kind of an addictive thing. Somebody else maybe bothering or threatening them. Maybe their need is financial. Maybe their need is physical. They've been told there's no answer. I pray for everyone here today that to whom it may apply, Lord, be Lord of that. Show the healing that you paid for in their bodies. Show the sustenance that you paid for, that you've offered us. We've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Make that real to some or many people here this morning. I pray for them. I lay their names and their lives before you, Lord. And I ask it in your name. And thank you for the privilege. Amen.